Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Christ Church where we seek to equip our members to live out their faith in the everyday stuff of life. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jeff.
We are pastors at Christ Church, and welcome to episode number 9. It's been a few weeks, Jeff, that since we've done a podcast.
Yeah, I think we've just, been lazy, not really doing anything, yeah. You know, decided to take off.
Yeah. I wish.
Yeah, I wish. Right now, we're both working probably more hours than we've ever worked before in our lives. But it's good to get back on here and try to serve people through this.
Yeah, it was encouraging. I heard that you said that some people have reached out to you saying, you know, what's going on with the podcast. So I'm glad we got some faithful followers for this podcast.
It's nice to know that more than my mom listens to it. Although, Mom, I'm very grateful that you listen to us faithfully. But yeah. It's nice to know.
Thanks,
that
Kim. That is encouraging that you
nice
listen to
a couple.
It.
Yeah. Well, your mom doesn't even listen, I think you said, right?
No, I don't think she has. I told her about it, but I don't think she was very impressed.
Wasn't that impressed?
Yeah. Maybe I'll ask her. Maybe she's, probably not.
That's funny.
Yeah. Mom, if you're listening and you just haven't told me, I love you, Mom.
Oh, man. So.
Yeah. So how you been? It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it has been a couple weeks. Well, I think, as you know, man, like, it's just been it's been very, very busy. I think where a lot of people have slowed down, things have picked up for us as we kind of take our church online and start caring for people and, so doing a lot of things online to reach folks and to care for folks and connect folks. That's been challenging. And then obviously all that we're doing to feed people here every Monday and Thursdays, and we have deliveries going out on Wednesdays, right? Like, yeah. Groceries. So we're doing maybe between 750 boxes of food a week. Well,
eight hundred boxes, and then about 200 bags yesterday.
So close to 1,000.
About 1,000, yeah.
So we're feeding about 1,000 people a week, and that obviously takes a lot of work. So coordinating all that. So we've been pretty busy, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a busy quarantine time.
But that's good. When things get hard, that's when God's people should be the busiest, you know?
Yeah.
I think when there is a crisis, that's where Christ is. And so we want to show, Christ in the crisis. And so this is not a time to be shrinking back, but a time to be stepping up and super grateful for, not just us, but obviously how, the church is responding, the volunteers coming out. Mm-hmm. And I think for many people in our church, it's been a busy time, and I'm super, super grateful for that because, if there's ever a time for us to be on the front lines, it's now.
Yeah. And they've, been busy in different ways. So, I know there's, moms that are working their job, and they're, now homeschool moms too. And, it seems
homeschool dads.
Yeah. It's crazy. I just saw that the Philadelphia schools or Pennsylvania schools aren't going back this year.
They're not going back. Although, let's be honest, as soon as they gave kids Chromebooks, you knew that they're not spending that kind of money without getting an ROI on it. So to have that official come down is kind of, it's, again, it's not surprising, but it's still just sad and hard.
Mm-hmm.
So
For kids, even, I just think of them not being able to see their friends and their teachers. So.
Although someone did ask me, I was like, kids can still jump on Zoom. I feel really bad for? I feel bad for my dog. My dog misses his friends.
Oh, yeah.
There's no dog parks. There's no dog parks. They're all shut down, which, why dog parks have to be shut down?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Dogs aren't carriers of it.
Right. So, to have the dogs, no reason they should social distance. But no, we're prejudiced against dogs. They have to social distance. There's no dog parks, and they don't really connect through Zoom. He can't do, watch parties or anything. So my poor dog sees another dog coming down the street, and he just starts
he's
trembling
excited.
He's just so excited, and
sorry for Dawkins,
poor Dawkins.
But isn't Dawkins excited to have his kids home all day?
He's definitely enjoying that. Definitely enjoying that, and he's getting more walks now than ever. But he misses my 3-year-old son isn't as good at wrestling with him. He's a 100-pound German Shepherd, for those of you who don't know. So there's only so much human child can do.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I've taken couple, when Dawkins is wagging its tail, it's like a baseball bat that like swings back and forth. And I've taken a couple hits in places I was hoping not to take hits from. So I can't imagine with Aaron, like, you know, how that goes. Does he get like knocked over by the tail? Or
nah, Dawkins is a gentle giant, man. He's learned how to. How to be around,
how to,
you
how
know,
to control that tail though. I mean, he's
Aaron, and yeah, he just it's kind of wild, but he's he does great with kids. Yeah,
good. Well, Sunday if we jump into the message we heard this past Sunday. So Jesus has been in. We've been going through. We heard about the lost sheep 2 weeks ago. And this week was about the lost coin. And, this Easter on Sunday, we'll be hearing about lost sons, right? So it seems like we're in kind of this, Jesus is, it seems like he's kind of getting at the same thing. Like, why do you think Jesus, like, is he repeating himself? What's he trying to get across where he's, you know, constantly repeating this theme of lostness?
Yeah. Well, it definitely has... obviously the same point, and we've said that, like, I mean, the point of Luke 15 is clear. God loves lost people. Mm-hmm. Every time something's lost, it's found, there's joy. God loves lost people. So that's the point. Mm-hmm. But why there's different stories, I do think that it's more than just repetition. I don't think he's just trying to hammer his point home. I think it's, he's trying to say the same thing in a different way to show the different, you know, angles of it. And so I think, you know, with the lost sheep, you kind of have the idea that, like, you know, the sheep wanders off, and so it's the shepherd's heart for the sheep that wanders. I think this past week with the lost coin, you have, it's different, right? This, the coin's the inanimate object, and so I think there's a reason, there's a contrast there, and I think it's really showing that not only is God the God who seeks after people who wander away, but he seeks after people who wander away who don't even care about being found. Like, who have no spiritual desire whatsoever, who, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we're spiritually dead, and God comes looking for us, not because we're looking for him, but because it's his choice to come looking for us. So I think this story really emphasizes grace, and then I think, you know, next week is going to really emphasize forgiveness, the father who forgives the two lost sons. So I think each story is kind of emphasizing a different part of God's love. And I also think, there's been some thought amongst theologians and commentators that I've been reading that if you look at it, it's also shown us in many ways a picture of the Trinity. And so as Christians, we believe that there's one God. This God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I think in the first story, you clearly see the shepherd. Jesus said he's the good shepherd. And so I think the first story of the lost sheep is very clearly a reference to Christ. And then you have, obviously, the prodigal sons, the two lost sons. You have the father, and so that's a clear reference to God the Father. And so many people think that, the middle story here of the lost coin is really referencing the Holy Spirit, particularly how it says that the woman searches with a light. And in many parts of Scripture, Holy Spirit is called, like, an enlightening. Like, he shines light. He brings revelation. Mm. He shows things. And so... again, I think what part is being said here is it's not just, you know, God loves lost people, but the Trinity, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this being, this three-in-one mysterious being has love in each core of his personhood for lost people. Yeah. And so the Father loves lost people through his forgiveness. The Shepherd, the Son loves lost people through being the shepherd who seeks, and the Spirit loves lost people through being, you know, the enlightening revelation of God. And so I do think you see a pattern of the Trinity as well displayed through the three different stories. So it's been neat just to kind of like, yeah, they're all saying the same thing, but just to, I think I said this on Sunday, it's really like looking at a diamond from different angles. It's all beautiful. It's all one thing. And yet if you look at it from different ways, each view is its own breathtaking glance, you know? So.
That's awesome. Awesome. What do you think? This is almost like a kind of like a mini series almost in Luke here. And what do you think are some of the biggest takeaways that you'd want us as a church to take away from these messages?
Yeah. Well, I think it really comes from thinking about the context of Jesus was talking to. So he's really talking to two groups of people. He's talking to tax collectors and sinners who, if you want to say, like, they were kind of the bad guys, and then you have the Pharisees, who were quote unquote the good guys, who were upset that Jesus was spending time with the bad guys. And so as God's making the point that he loves lost people, Jesus is saying God loves lost people, and he's saying it again and again, I think there's really two things that we should think about. One, this means that God loves us. And so if we're like the tax collector and sinner, and we're aware of how, you know, separate we are from God, we're aware of how bad we can be, like, God wants to speak clearly to our hearts that he loves us. You know, he loves us in our lostness. You know, in each one of these situations, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost sons is still valued, is still loved, is still wanted. And so God just wants us to know that he loves us. But then also, I think from why is he saying this to the Pharisees? Well, he's saying to the Pharisees because he wants the Pharisees to join in God's love. You know, his problem with the Pharisees is that they don't love lost people. And so I think, like, this should assure all of us that we have God's love, but that then that love that we have from God is not meant to then stay with us. It's meant to take us out, that we should love other people. You know, and I think as we, you know, the Pharisees were tempted to judge these tax collectors and sinners. And so the question we should all be asking is, who am I tempted to judge? Who are people that's easy for me to get upset about or to look down on? And how can I, you know, join in God's party of seeking and saving the lost and rejoicing over that? So I think, like, you know, and we're not meeting in person right now, but I think as soon as we start meeting in person, a really thing is like, hey, like, who are you upset when they show up for church? You know, I think, like, hey, this person, like, maybe they don't look the way you think they should look, or maybe they don't act the way you think they should act, or maybe you have a neighbor who is belligerent and rude and gets on your nerves, or a family member who has, like, deeply hurt you. And, you know, we can have all these people that are not welcome in our lives. And I think that's the point of Luke 15. Like, no, if you have been loved by God, God loves lost people. You need to love lost people too. And so there should be no one who's not welcome, but we should have hearts to seek and save. We can't seek and save, obviously. Christ does that, but to join Christ in doing that, to have a heart to be used by him in that. So I think this is doing two things. It's giving encouragement to people who struggle with self-pity, and it's giving a challenge to people who struggle with self-righteousness. God loves lost people. So if you have self-pity, stop pitying yourself. God loves you. And God loves lost people. And so if you're self-righteous and looking down on others, stop doing that, because you're, you know, God loves lost people. And so I think this is meant to rescue us from both self-pity and self-righteousness.
That's good. What, you know, I'm thinking about those that have been Christians for a while, and, you know, maybe you might not think of yourself as self-righteous. Maybe you aren't self-righteous, but you just feel far away from, like, you know, you were that tax collector and sinner, but, like, okay, you've been walking with the Lord 10, 15, 20 years. That seems so far away. Like, how do you think we should think through that as people that have been Christians for a while? So, I mean, yeah, you're happy to see people show up at church, but you don't necessarily, like, see yourself as a sinner anymore. Like, how do you, you know, recover that, just the joy of being found?
Yeah. Well, I think it's crucial that we recover it, because, I mean, I always think of 1 Timothy 1:15, which just, like, you know, is crazy when you read it, because Paul says in that letter to Timothy, he says, this saying, trustworthy, deserving full acceptance, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And it's wild to me that he says, I am. That's a present tense verb. Yeah. Like, that's how he saw himself in that moment. Not I was back when I was, you know, this kind of person who was doing all the terrible things Paul was doing. He still saw himself presently as the worst of sinners. Obviously, the sins that he was doing was not as bad as it was. I mean, he was, like, totally a blasphemer and was someone who hated God and didn't know he hated God, but did hate God and was, you know, locking up women and children. I mean, Paul did horrific things in his former life. So it's not that he was still doing those things. But to his heart, those things were so, not in a condemning way, because he's the same Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So not in a self-pity way, but in a way that, like, he never forgot who he was, and that is still something he carries with him in who he is. And so he was just very aware of his sinfulness, and he was very aware of you know, both the things he had done. And then also, like, you know, the Jesus, when Jesus said, like, hey, you know, if you have anger in your heart towards someone, same as committing murder, right? I think Paul used to actually commit murder. But then when he was the leader of the church, he still had anger in his heart. And so I think his, quote unquote, little sins were still big sins to him. And so I think, like, you know, it's going to be hard. You're going to have a hard time connecting to the joy of the Savior if you have a hard time being honest about the sinfulness of your sin. And this is why I think, like, the whole feel-good culture that is just so pervasive, like, the whole, like, you know, you're a special snowflake and, you know, that whole, you know, you need to feel good about yourself. No, actually, I think the Bible's pretty clear that the way to feel truly loved is not for you to love yourself, but rather for you to be amazed at how God could love someone like you. You know, in other words, who's more grateful, the millionaire who's given, you know, another $1 million, or the beggar who's taken off the streets and clothed and given an inheritance that's in, you know, insurmountable. So I think that's, like, you know, it is, few things are more dangerous to our spiritual longevity and joy than losing touch with our own sinfulness. And so I think that, like, honestly, real practically, two things I try to do to try to keep this, you know, fresh in my heart, is starting every day. I start every day with a prayer, like, Lord, all I bring today is my own sinfulness. And so anything good that comes from me is not from me, but is from you. And so I just want to recognize that who you are, and I want to thank you in advance for all your grace. And I want to anticipate your grace that's going to allow me to walk in righteousness, or righteousness that's not my own. And so I want to start the day every day not giving myself an excuse to sin, but no, I want to believe that Christ can help me walk in righteousness. But that's the point. It's going, only by Christ can I walk in righteousness. So I want to start every day not with this, you know, just kind of rolling out of bed and doing my thing. No, I need to be dependent on God, because, man, if God should ever not be with me for a day, you know, I'm going to be a fiend of hell. I mean, I know that about myself. I know my anger. I know my lusts. I know my selfishness. Like, if, you know, if I'm not living in the grace of God, it's not going to be a good day for me or for anyone. And so I start with, like, Lord, I need you today. You know, I need you today. All I'm bringing to today is my sinful nature. And so, Christ, I need you. The Galatians 2, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who lives in me. And so, Lord, I need you to live in me today. That's how I start the day. And then how I end the day is I end the day with confession. You know, I like to, when I go to sleep, I like, Lord, you know, I just want to confess things today that I did that were, you know, obviously you're hoping you confess some things throughout the day. But I end the day with confession and just thanking God that, thank you, Lord, that you're not going to hold my sins against me today, because you already held them against Christ. And so it ends, it goes with, it moves, starts the confession, then moves to praise. And I think it just helps me, like, keep a heart that's, like, you know, just aware, I hope in a healthy way, of my need for Christ. So, you know, it's not, because I've heard some people, like, oh, I'm such, you know, I'm such a terrible sinner, and they just use that as an excuse to sin. No, like, that's discounting the power of God. Like, if, you know, the gospel should never give you an excuse to sin. Because then you're discounting its power. So I want to start the day by believing that God can help me walk in righteousness, but believing that I'm not going to walk in righteousness unless he helps me. So I want to start the day with active dependence. And then I want to end the day by recognizing that, you know what, God helped me. God was there for me. There's probably ways that I still failed because I wasn't accessing the power. You know, none of us do that perfectly all the time. And so I end the day just by acknowledging that and thanking Christ for the gospel and going to sleep at peace with the Lord. So I don't know, man, just I feel like those kind of, like, things kind of bookend my life and, you know, my days, and that helps me keep it, you know, I'm trying to cultivate that heart of Paul of, like, man, I want to, when I see someone, I'm not seeing someone different than myself. I'm seeing someone who, no matter what they've done, it's like, man, if God were to remove his grace from my life, that's exactly who I would be. And so I am the chief of sinners, because I know my sinful proclivities. I know my heart. I just know my heart, and I know my thoughts better than I know anyone else's. And so it's like, it, you know, if God were to remove his hand of grace from my life, it wouldn't be a good situation. And so that just makes me, it doesn't make me feel bad about me. honestly, it makes me think like less about me and just more about Christ. Like, Lord, I need you. I want you. Help me to walk in your ways. It gets my eyes off of me and onto Jesus. So I don't know. I feel like that's a really long-winded answer.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer. Yeah,
what do you think?
Good answer that I feel like we could spend another, you know, 20 minutes talking about. Yeah, so then how, because there is a balance, right? There's, you see your sin, but, and I don't want to take us, you know, I know we have limited time here, but you see your sin, but I feel like there's some that will then struggle with self-condemnation. So then where, how do you strike that, that balance?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. And this is why I love that, like, the author of Hebrews says that God's word is a two-edged sword. And so it's a word that cuts both ways intentionally. And so I think for the self-condemned, like, then you go to, like, the message of hope, like, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you know, Romans, you know, Romans 8:1 or 2 Corinthians, you know, 5, you know, if the old is gone, behold, the new has come, you know, you know, Romans, end of Romans, you know, what shall separate us from the love of God? So I think anyone who's struggling with self-condemnation, Bible has something very clear to say to you. Like, you are loved and valued by God. And so I think I said this past Sunday, like, if you're living in self-condemnation, you're giving yourself more power than you should, because God has fixed your worth in his love. And so you have no right to condemn yourself when the Lord of the universe has said, you're forgiven, loved forever. So that's why I think, like, that cuts one way, the self-condemned. But then I think, again, it cuts the other way, the self-righteous person says, like, well, you know, you who think you stand firm, take heed lest you fall. You know, you know, your righteousness is but filthy rags, right? So there's, you know, Isaiah. So, like, there's lots of verses. So I think it's like, you know, and that's why I think God's word wants to keep us in a healthy place of not living self-condemnation nor living self-righteousness, but, again, just getting our eyes off ourselves and onto Christ. And so I think the Bible cuts both ways. And so I think it, you know, depending on how the person's struggling, the Bible can, wants to pierce your heart.
That's good. That's good, man. Cool, brother. How are we?
Would you, yeah, we're doing good on time. I mean, do you have any follow up to that or?
Yeah, I mean, it brings us back to, you know, what we've been learning in Luke 15, just the value that the Lord places on us. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, I think it's important to be in that place of realizing that, yeah, that I am, you know, the same sinful person in some ways that I was. Now, obviously, I should have, you know, as a Christian, you know, for 20 years, I, you know, hopefully I've grown, I've changed. I am a new creation in Christ. But apart from Christ, as he says in John 15, I can do nothing. So, yeah, so, you know, I think I've said this before, praying the Lord's Prayer has always been in the morning helpful for me, where forgive me, you know, my trespasses. So that gives me a moment to think through what those are with it. And, yeah, as you said, in Sermon on the Mount, there's just that, okay, yeah, I might not have murdered someone, but, you know, the root of that is anger in my heart. Uh-huh. So just seeing those things. So I think it's important. You know, I always want to be in that place of the one who, yeah, as you said, he who's been forgiven much loves much. Yeah. And, yeah, so I don't want to be, you know, I think part of the Pharisees' lostness is they didn't see their lostness, right?
Right, right,
so
right, right.
Just knowing, seeing those things. So, I think it's helpful having those rhythms and those patterns in your life where, yeah, every morning I'm reminding myself. But and that's, I mean, what's great about the Lord's Prayer is it, you know, leads us to Christ with it too. So it just doesn't leave us there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, as we're talking about loving people, I mean, that just makes me think, you know, we talked about, just what's going on through the food distribution that we're doing, man. And I know that's kind of like your whole world right now. And first of all, just thank you so much for your leadership and working through the logistics and working to care for people. I think you said we're getting close to what, like 1,000 people a week that we're feeding.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, thanks, man.
How you doing? I mean, I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. I mean, there's been you know, it's I think it's starting to get, you know, hopefully get into more of a rhythm, kind of figure things out. So at first, a lot of stuff was constantly changing. You know, we you know, things kind of got dropped on us. We started off with, we were going to deliver to families of local elementary schools. Well, I think Sunday night, like I got an email from one of our food suppliers. Oh yeah, by the way, you're a city super site now. And, like, okay, that's great. Well, that means that, you know, people are going to be lining up at the church to get food. So, you know, so it was adapting to that. And then, we found out that we weren't able to do the deliveries with the boxes, with these certain boxes, because we want to be fair. We want to give everyone a chance to get a box. So we had to figure out other ways to deliver to the families that weren't able to get out of the house. So it's been, everything's constantly been changing, but, and then on top of it, just trying to figure out in the process, like, you know, how do you keep people safe while we're packing food together? How many people can be in the building? Right. So, you know, in the old days, you know, pre-coronavirus, it's like, okay, just fill the place with volunteers. And now we have limited volunteers. So it's just, but it's been, I've enjoyed it. I years ago, you remember this, but I used to work in, like route delivery for Deer Park Spring Water. I think that might have been like the first job I had when I met you. So. That was, I don't know, 18 years ago or something. Probably close to that 17 years ago. But so it's like scratching a little bit of that itch, like, you know, routing out some of the deliveries and stuff. So
that was an itch you still had?
Yeah, you know, it's just something about, you know, it's something about, like, I don't know. I was telling Joe Cato, like, just having a, you know, we would have these route books and just being organized. And there's just something, you know, I liked about routing things out and having, good routes. And
that's funny.
Yeah, I didn't miss delivering 50-pound water bottles, you know, and hauling those around all day. That was rough physically. It's been great. I'm thankful for all the people that have jumped in and volunteered. So we've had, like, I think close to, you know, probably upwards close to like 100 different volunteers that have jumped in. And that has been a lot of people from our church, which has been great. I totally understand not everyone, for many different reasons. For some that are in the at-risk category, I wouldn't want you to show up, so no way feel, you know, condemned for those that aren't able to, but it's been great for those that have been able to jump in and help. We've had lots of neighbors reaching out to us, so it's just cool to see how the neighbors are really excited about how we're able to serve in this way. I think we get a lot of encouraging, you know, emails and Facebook posts and people, hey, how can we help? So, you know, we were just talking about before, different neighbors have been like, hey, I can't help, but would love to support the effort. So people have been seeking to do that. So different parents of, you know, PTAs at different schools are involved. So we had police officers here the other day, loading up boxes with us. And
they've been great.
They went back and just had a great time with them. They went back to their superior officer and said, hey, can we come to this place every time? And it seems like at least for the next month, they'll be here Monday and Thursday. So
we'll take it.
So it's been cool. It's been cool to be able to just connect with a lot of different people and just see how people are jumping in to serve.
That's great, man. That's great. I'm so grateful. Yeah, just for how you're doing that. You're doing a great job with it. And also, I'm an at-risk person.
Yeah.
And so I'm not used to it, but having to kind of be more isolated and feel like I'm the man behind the screen right now. Everything is just the screen, but you're the man on the ground. And
well, you're like the wizard, right, behind the curtain there.
Yeah, well, smoke and mirrors, right? So that's, no, but I'm super grateful just for how you've been able to be present physically with people. And, man, just super grateful for you. So.
Yeah, thanks. It's been good. You see, you know, for all those that have been able to jump in and help out and just, you know, even through prayer. And that's one thing I would ask for is, you know, as we're just connecting, a lot of people are serving, you know, just pray for open doors for relationships and for the gospel to be shared. You know, some of what we're doing is, you know, the boxes are provided by the city. It's not, you know, we can't necessarily, you know, stuff a little Gospel of John in there or something, but, you know, it's serving our neighbors and they see it and it means a lot to them. And,
yeah, that's good.
You know, I've had people, earlier today we did we were handing out boxes and lady pulled up and she was like, hey, you know, I've been meaning to come to the church, you know, and, you know, when, and, you know, so I was able to refer her to our live stream and said, hey, when we're done with this live stream, like, you got to come in and see us, you know, in person.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
People have been asking about the church and it's just been cool.
Yeah. And that's what you hope, man, whether it's our church or another church, you do hope that through this and through things like this, that seeds are being planted. And I know it's something I've been praying for, is that when things get turned back on, that people will have been turned on to the Lord and to the only sure and steady thing in life. And mm-hmm. So you do hope that I pray the churches are filled to the brim as a result of when we can start to gather again,
yeah.
You know, here and everywhere. May God do a great work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And that's another thing too, just been encouraged by other churches that have jumped in. So it hasn't been like, oh, hey, that's Christ Church's thing. But, yeah, I've had pastors, you know, just, hey, what can we do to help you guys out? What can we do to be involved? They're sending their people. Yeah. So it's been great to see God's people.
That's great.
You know, jump into that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good, man.
Cool, brother. So this is Easter weekend.
Yeah.
What's going on this weekend?
We're not sure when people are going to listen to this, but we have a 6:30 Good Friday service. So excited to be able to do that. And then we have a
what's going on with the Good Friday service?
It's a Good Friday service. We have different members who have recorded videos of reading scripture. So we're going to play that, and then I'm going to comment on the scripture and kind of go back and forth. So it'll be like an interactive thing, and then we'll sing some songs. So just reflecting on on the death of Christ, and so looking forward to do that. And then Saturday night we have a prayer and praise night, so looking forward to doing that. We're going to try to do that through Zoom. I have no idea how that's going to work, but it'll be good at least to see everyone's face.
Yeah, Have you seen, like, they have, like, these, like, different groups are doing, like, Zoom. Like, how does that work? Is that even real?
No, it's not. That's the point. No, it's not through Zoom. It's through, like, special tens of thousands of dollars software.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all have, like, professional microphone people that come to their homes and mic them up. So, yeah, when you're seeing that.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, no, not taking anything away from it. Like, praise God they have the resources to do that. You know, I'm really enjoying watching some of those things. But, yeah, please do not email in and ask us to do something like that.
It's not going to be like that on Saturday.
Not going to be quite like that on Saturday.
Yeah, but we will be connecting with the Lord on Saturday.
We'll be connecting with the Lord, and we'll be hopefully at least be able to see one another and pray out loud together. So that'll be that'd be good. And and then 10 a.m. Sunday service. So looking forward to closing out Luke 15 by looking at the two lost sons and how every time in that story you feel like the son goes away, you think that's the end of the story, then the son comes back and you think it's the end of the story, and then there's this idea that just the story keeps going and in many ways keeps getting better as you see more and more of the love of God. And so looking forward to getting into that. It definitely is going to be a different Easter, but I'm actually I've never been more excited, I think, to celebrate the fact that Christ has defeated death. And this world is passing away, but the resurrected life of Christ shows us that we can have eternal life with him forever. And so I am ready to, in many ways, I feel like this Sunday is an opportunity for Christians to have a rallying cry of where our faith and hope and confidence is.
That's great. That's great. What, I don't know if I can ask this or anything we could look for. Head sermon wise too, or is,
After this we are going to be taking a break from Luke because just the Lord's really put a burden, as we were talking about this as pastors, me, you, and Steve praying. The Lord has put a burden on my heart to get into just a short mini series on the book of Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes is really asking the question, what is the meaning of life? And so I think that is an important question for us to be thinking about right now, And so Luke 16 is great. You know, Jesus is going to start talking about, like, marriage and things like that, which is, like, obviously super important to talk about. But just felt like, hey, we could probably hear that message a couple months from now. I think, the message that we need to hear now is what is the point of all this, I'm really looking forward to it. It's gonna be it's a different kind of book than I've ever preached before. So you can pray for me. It's definitely got me a new experience, but I'm super enjoying studying it and hopefully able to share some of what the Lord's showing me.
That's great. Well, for those that listen to the podcast, you heard it first here.
That's right. Breaking news.
Breaking news. So that's what you get when you listen to our,
right,
our podcast.
That's right.
Well, yeah, and that sounds like a great sermon series to share on Facebook and to, you know, post and to share with a lot of people that are asking the questions that Ecclesiastes addresses. So it should be a great way, and pray the Lord uses that.
Yeah, amen.
Cool, brother. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We again love to hear from you. Thanks for your feedback. It is important. It encourages us to press forward in this in this task of podcasting. So
yeah.
Thanks, guys. Email us, Matt or Jeff at christchurchsouthphilly.org, and may the grace of our Lord be with you.
Amen.